Are you hurting financially, beloved? I mean, is everything breaking? Is everything falling apart? Or maybe you've lost your job, or maybe you're afraid you're going to lose your job and you have no reserve. What are you going to do? Or it could be that maybe everything is so great and you are so prosperous and you never dreamed you'd be this prosperous. Have you learned how to handle that? Have you learned how to be content no matter your circumstances? We'll talk about it today. As we turn, beloved, to these final verses in the book of Philippians in the 4th chapter, we come to that key word that shows us what can happen that can rob us of our joy. Remember, Philippians is the epistle of joy. And it's the epistle of joy, and joy is spelled, in a sense, Jesus first. And this is the way you'll have joy. You'll have joy if you keep Jesus first, if you keep others second, and if you'll keep you in the proper perspective. And you'll have joy if you will learn that no matter your circumstances, you can have peace. You can have joy. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Now, circumstances is an important word here. And so you want to mark it in a specific way. If you did not get the study guide to Philippians, then you need to download it. You need to download it so that you can go back and you can review these things. You can get the teaching tapes, the CDs on these programs, and you can listen to them over and over and over again. I listen to tapes. I listen to the Bible on tape. I listen to the teaching of my colleagues here at Precept Ministries International. We have excellent teachers on staff. And I listen to the teachings of others, to my friends like David Jeremiah and different people like that, that I love and I admire. And so I listen to those things, and in the listening, I grow. In the listening, I'm keeping my mind and my heart focused on God. So you can get these CDs, you can take the study guide, and you can sit down and you can do a study on the book of Philippians. Well, we show you in that study guide that you need to mark the word circumstances. You say, how do I get the study guide? Don't say another thing, Kay, until you tell me how to get it. Well, you go to preceptsforlife.com. That's preceptsforlife, all one word. It's really three, but anyway, all one word, .com, and then you can download the study guide. So he goes on to say, I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. And there you mark it again. I have learned the secret. There's a secret here of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Now, when he's talking about having abundance, he's talking about having an abundant abundance. I mean, he's talking about in having just lots and lots. And when he's talking about suffering need, he is talking about being in dire straits. He's talking about hand-to-mouth kind of stuff. And what you see is here is a man of God, and this man of God is telling you that he has experienced abundant prosperity and he has experienced abundant need. You say, well, according to some teachers, he's experienced abundant need or desperate need because he didn't have faith. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. Don't let somebody else define your theology for you. The whole purpose of this program, Precepts for Life, is to teach you how to study God's Word for yourself, how to discover truth. It is to take you through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that you understand things in their context. Context is a setting in which you find a verse or in which you find a truth. And context is king. Context rules over all accurate interpretation. So as you read Philippians, the context of this book is that Paul's in prison. That's the historical context. It's the biographical context. Paul's in prison, and he's in prison for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he is suffering in this, he has suffered in his ministry with great need, but he has also had abundant prosperity. In both of those situations, he tells us that he has learned to be content. So what does God, why does God have you listening to what I'm saying today? He has you listening because he wants you to learn how to be content if everything's falling apart. I remember when Jack and I were on the mission field, and when he came in, and I mean, we lived hand to mouth on the mission field. And I remember when he came in and he says, someone just stole the tires off of my truck. And I mean, it was the way, it was the vehicle that we got around on. It was the vehicle that that pulled our trailer, that took us out into the boondocks as we ministered to those people in Mexico. And he says, they just stole it. And I said, we have got to stop and we've got to thank God, because God says, in everything, give thanks, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. So we've got to thank God. Second, we've got to remember that God knows that they stole your tires, and God's got to give them back to us. He's got to provide. So what you do in any circumstance is you act properly. To act properly, beloved, is to act biblically. Now, what Paul does is, once again, he sets himself up as an example, and rightly so, because Paul learned how to live. And this is what he says in Philippians chapter 4. Let's read it. He says in verse 9, the things that you have learned and received. You not only heard them, but you received them. And you heard and you saw in me. You heard me say them. You saw me live them. He says, the things that you have learned, and here's that word things again, another key word, and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Now, that word practice is in the present tense in the Greek. And the present tense in the Greek is like a continuous line. Keep on, keep on, keeping on, keeping on. Keep on doing these things. Keep on taking the things that you have learned, that you have heard, that you have seen in me, and you keep on doing them. You follow me. Well, what did he say in chapter 3, verse 17? Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. In other words, be an imitator of me. This is what Paul says to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You and I are to live this way. We're to live in such a way that we are following the pattern of those that have gone before us. Well, when we look at this pattern and we take all of the book of Philippians and then we put Acts with it and Paul's account of his first, second, and third missionary journeys, and then the end of Acts when he ends up in prison, and that's in his own house arrest, in his own rented quarters, but chained to a guard from Caesar's household, from the ruler's household in Rome, we find Paul being content. And so I look at him and I say, okay, Paul, now what can I learn from you? What have I seen you do? Well, I have seen that in Philippians chapter 1, that his passion is Christ. For him to live is Christ, to die is gain, and the gospel is getting preached, and sometimes people are preaching it in order to hurt Paul. But this is not going to change Paul's attitude or Paul's walk, because he's just rejoicing, because for him to live is Christ. And so whether Christ is preached in pretense or whether Christ is preached in truth, he is still rejoicing. And so you watch him move all the way through here. You watch him in Philippians chapter 2, where he is being poured out as a sacrifice upon the altar of other people's faith. And he's telling them, rejoice, I'm being poured out, but rejoice. I mean, what a high privilege to pour out your life for Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, you see him counting all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for whom he suffered the loss of all things. And he counts them but dung, but manure, in order that he might know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You see him pressing on towards the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And now in Philippians chapter 4, you see him saying, okay, the things that you've learned and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Just like the God of peace is with me. I want to tell you something. Peace cannot be bought, beloved. It cannot be bought. It can only be laid hold of by obedience to the Scripture. You see, faith and obedience are used synonymously. Because if I really believe, then I'm going to order my life that way. If I really believe, then I'm going to obey the Scriptures. So he goes on to say, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now, remember, that's a key word. And this is the word we're marking, rejoice. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you in Philippi, revived your concern for me. Indeed, before you were concerned, but you lacked opportunity. Now, how is that concern seen? That concern is seen in supporting Paul. I mean, he's living in his own rented quarters. He has to buy his own food. He has to buy his own fuel. He has to take care of himself. And so he's saying, I so rejoice that you have revived your concern for me. In other words, there was a time when you were supplying my needs and then you stopped. But he says, I know that you stopped because you lacked opportunity. Something happened that you couldn't get the money to me to support me or to help me. But then he goes on to say, not that I speak from want. I know that you lack the opportunity. And he says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Now, this is so key. And it's so key because so many of us believe that God wants us automatically prosperous, driving the best cars, wearing the best clothes, living in the best houses, and just having an abundance. But that's not what Paul is saying. And beloved, if that's the way that you're thinking and it's not happening, then you're all shook up. And you're all shook up because you think, what am I doing wrong spiritually? Why do I hear these other testimonies of what God has done and he hasn't done that for me? It's because God wants to teach you something. You say, what? We'll talk about it when I come back. I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Welcome back, precious one. I call you precious one because you are precious to God. I call you precious one because you are precious to me. And I call you that because so many times we don't think we're precious. So many times when we are suffering want, or when we are going without, or when all of a sudden the tires need changing on the car, and the refrigerator goes out, and the air conditioner goes out, or whatever, we think, God doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. Oh, yes, He does. Yes, He does. Well, you say, if He did, He wouldn't let me go through this, because I'm hearing all these testimonies of all these people, and they give money to these ministries, and they were poor, and now they're not, and I've done it, and I'm still having things going wrong. Listen, God is over your circumstances. God is sovereign, and God allows you and me to suffer need as well as to have times of blessing or prosperity. You say, well, Kay, I'm one of those that have never had a time of blessing or prosperity. Well, if you haven't had a time of what you call material blessing or prosperity, it's because God is using you in such an awesome way that He wants you to be an example to others, like Paul was, of being in desperate need and still being content, so that when people look at you, they say, if I were in your circumstances, I wouldn't be like that. If that happened to me, I wouldn't react that way. If God allowed that, I wouldn't be walking with God. Well, see, every circumstance of life, beloved, is a platform for you and me to show the sufficiency, the adequacy of Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul goes on to say. He says in Philippians 4, verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity in any and every, and I would underline it, I would circle the every circumstance, I have learned, it's been a process with me, but I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do, or I can bear all things through Him who strengthens me. Have you ever seen somebody hooked up to an infusion, or hooked up to a intravenous connection where they are dropping fluid into a person's arm? Well, this is the word that he's using here. Up here, when you look at that bottle that has that life-giving fluid in it, or that life-giving blood in it that the patient needs, think of that as Jesus. Think of that as God. Then think of, Then think of the tube as God using and taking what's in that bottle that your body so desperately needs and infusing it into you. That's what he's saying. I can do, I can bear all things through Him who strengthens me, who infuses His strength in me. He says, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. So Paul's been in affliction, and that affliction is that he has suffered need. That affliction is that he has gone hungry. The gratitude that he has is the fact that the Philippians have revived their concern for him, and now they have sent a gift to him, and that's what you read on in Philippians chapter 4, and this is what he says, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the manner of giving and receiving, but you alone. And then he goes on to say, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. I have received everything in full and have an abundance, and I am amply supplied. In other words, I have gone from need, I have gone from hunger, and I have gone to having everything that I need right now. Not that he's in terrible great prosperity. I don't think it's terrible. Prosperity is terrible. It's terrible because it's very dangerous, and it causes you to think of God as only a sugar daddy to make life just wonderful and rich and luxurious, or it causes you then to forget God and to start trusting in what you have and to get preoccupied with having it and keeping it and enjoying it instead of having time for God. Well, as we look at this, I want to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3 because I want you to understand something about suffering. Suffering is not always just being beaten for Jesus Christ. Suffering can take on many, many different forms. But in Philippians, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he lets his son Timothy know in his final epistle to him that he has followed Paul, and he has followed Paul in many ways. He has been an example to Paul. Now look at Paul's example. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance." Perseverance means that you don't quit. Perseverance means you hangeth thou in there, O baby. All right. "Persecutions and sufferings such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra." And this is when Timothy was traveling with him and he saw these things that he went through. "What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed," listen carefully, "all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." We will be persecuted and we will go through trials. I want to take you to Romans chapter 8. And this is where Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And little does he dream that the way he is going to see them is by going as a prisoner to Rome. But in Romans chapter 8, this is what he says in verse 35. "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine," in other words, going hungry, "or nakedness," not having a lot of clothes, "or peril," danger, "or sword." He says, "just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." Now watch, Paul can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present," things falling apart, things broken, things not working, "nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Oh, beloved, if you're in need, if things are falling apart, don't think it's because God doesn't love you anymore or because God's not on your side. Oh, no, this is a test. A test of your faith. This is an opportunity for you, like Paul, to learn to be content. Whether you have an abundance or whether you have great need, you learn to be content because you allow Christ to infuse his strength in you. In other words, there's not anything that you cannot handle. There's not anything that you cannot bear. And he tells you in Hebrews that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you, so that you can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me." Oh, beloved, be content. Welcome back, beloved. Now, what is this precept for life, the standard, this truth that you and I can grab hold of, that will lead to life, that will lead to godliness, that will lead to contentment no matter the circumstances? The precept for life is this, that you need to understand that there are going to be times in your life when you are going to have an abundance, but there are also going to be times in your life when you are going to suffer need. And the suffering need is not a lack of faith. If it is, then Paul is a failure. And yet we know from Philippians and we know from 1 Corinthians 11 that Paul sets himself up as an example, that Paul's life becomes a pattern, that Paul tells Timothy and he tells in 2 Timothy and he tells the Philippians and he tells the Corinthians, look at me, look at my example. In Philippians chapter 4, he says this, the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, what is he going to show us? Well, he shows us that I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. He says, I know how to get along with humble means. Do you know how to live on a budget? Do you know how to control yourself so that shopping is not the thing of your life? It distresses me when I hear about Christians talking about shopping, shopping, shopping. When we work overseas and I see the great needs there and the people that are crying out to us to supply them with more books to study and who are giving up material things and moving to the United States in order that they might minister. Oh, beloved, sometimes we have an Americanized theology. Well, you need to know that God's theology is there are times of prosperity and there are times of suffering need. And whichever that time is, you need to learn to be content. So what do you do? I want you to stop today, wherever you are, and I want you to thank God for things exactly as they are. And I want you to thank God that He's in control. And I want you to thank God that you can make it, that you can handle it, whether it's prosperity or it's need, through Him who infuses His strength in you. And that you simply tell God, God, teach me to be content because You are my contentment.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. And to find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today, 1-800-763-1990.